In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Well, here we are, gathered together on the first Sunday of Lent. And so it's no surprise that once again we hear the familiar passage of Jesus being led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he is tempted, or as some translations put it, tested for 40 days by the devil. And of course, as we just heard, Jesus passes these tests with flying colors by saying no to the bread that will satisfy his hunger, no to angelic bodyguards that will protect his body, and no to earthly authority and power. But it's not the three temptations or tests that I want to focus on today, but instead where they take place. The wilderness, the woods. The wilderness is an important word in the Bible. In fact, it appears almost 300 times throughout Holy Scripture. The Bible repeatedly asks us to remember the wilderness. And oddly enough, God seems to lead those whom he loves and cares about into this strange place. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and David, they all spent a significant amount of time in the wilderness. And of course, before the Israelites, God's chosen people, were permitted to go into the promised land, they spent 40 long years wandering in the wilderness. In Holy Scripture, the wilderness symbolizes trial and testing. It's not a safe place. It's harsh and untamed. It's a place where we have no control, a place where we feel uncomfortable and insecure. It's a place of confusion and great exposure to risk. Now, I doubt that many of us here this morning are strangers to the wilderness. We've all been there, haven't we? I found myself in one particular wilderness when I was teaching junior high in an inner-city public school. And I don't know how many of you have spent time with a large group of junior high kids, but they're not normal human beings. And although extremely difficult and challenging, my years in the classroom helped to form and shape me into the person I am today. This is also when I came to the conclusion that there really is a special place in heaven for junior high teachers. So I think I'm covered. But as we know, the wilderness comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Maybe your wilderness looked more like the inside of a hospital waiting room. Maybe it came in the form of a job termination letter. Or maybe you felt the wilderness surround you when you received that phone call from the doctor giving you the bad news. Sometimes the only way we can tell if we're in the wilderness or not is to look around for what we normally count on to save us and come up empty. Needless to say, the wilderness is not a place or situation that many of us look forward to. In fact, most of us spend a great deal of our time and energy desperately trying to stay out of it. But sooner or later, we all find ourselves in the wilderness. Now, I know this may sound like bad news, but I don't think it necessarily is. In fact, I think it can be very good news, because even if we don't want to go there, even if we do our best to get out as soon as we arrive, the wilderness can be one of the most real, spiritual, and transformative places for us to be. In Holy Scripture, the wilderness is almost always used for a positive, divine purpose. For example, God used the harsh environment of the wilderness to strip away the habits of the Israelites formed by slavery in their time in Egypt, and he replaced them with new ways of trusting in him. And God could have let Abraham stay in the comfort of Ur, or Moses in the splendor of Pharaoh's courts. He could have kept David away from Goliath and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. But as we know, he didn't. In fact, God used each of those wilderness moments to bring people into a closer and deeper relationship with Himself. In the same way, the wilderness can be a place of growth and transformation for you and me. It can be a place where we discover who we really are and what our lives are all about. As we know, it's hard to change or to be transformed in ways that matter without some disruption in our normal patterns and routines where we feel safe and in control. Psychologist Jonathan Haidt writes the following: "It's in adversity that we find out what we are really made of, just as we find out what is inside a tube of toothpaste when it gets squeezed. People often say, 'I could never go through what that person went through. I would die.' Then they go through it, and their heart keeps beating, and their world goes on." Now, I want to be very clear that I'm not suggesting that God causes bad things to happen to us in order to teach us a lesson or to punish us. The last thing God desires for us is to suffer and be miserable. God only wants good things for His children. Instead, God promises to take the pain and the suffering of our lives, all those wilderness moments, and to transform them into something good. And the good news is, just as the Spirit was with Jesus in the wilderness for those 40 days, God is always with us in our hardships and difficulties, working within us and through us to become the people He has created us to be. God doesn't abandon us during our journeys into the woods. Quite the opposite. After all, God is in the business of taking things that only seem to lead to death and bringing them back to life. And that's a good thing for us to remember on this first Sunday in Lent. This is one of the reasons why we're invited to either give something up or take something on over the next 40 days. Because these new behaviors interrupt our usual ways of being and they challenge our assumptions. So at the end of a long day, when we reach for that glass of wine, or the TV remote, or the pint of our favorite Bluebell ice cream, or whatever it may be that we typically count on to comfort us, we come up empty, and we find ourselves in the middle of the wilderness with the devil whispering in our ears. Now, I've heard of people giving up all kinds of things for Lent: TV, caffeine, going out to eat, Facebook, texting, cell phones. Even some of our acolytes here at St. Martin's have generously given up Brussels sprouts. I had to tell them that's not the way it works. Now, I realize that some of these things may seem trivial, but in our society of excess, where last Sunday, while watching Super Bowl 50, 1.3 billion hot wings and 325 million gallons of beer were consumed, it's not always easy to give up whatever electronics, habits, or substances we use to keep ourselves from feeling the kind of lives we are actually living. And ultimately, it doesn't matter what we decide to give up or take on. The important thing is to do something that takes us off our usual path and leads us into the wilderness. The season of Lent provides us with 40 whole days for finding out what life is like without some of these distractions. So should you give something up? Should you take something on? Maybe, maybe not. Only you know which devils have your number. During the season of Lent, may God give us the grace to willingly make that journey into the woods where He patiently awaits our arrival. Amen.